Here's the scenario that Malachi has in mind. You have middle-aged Israelite men who have grown tired of their aging wives and are swapping them out for young, exotic, and idolatrous women. That's what's going on.
Welcome to Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. I'm Pastor Larry McCarthy. We are glad you're with us today in our series in Malachi. Now, Pastor Philip, Malachi has just set a scene for us of marriage it's based on a holy covenant, but they're broken by betrayal and by divorce. What are we going to see today about God amid broken marriages?
Yeah, so this is a very specific historical scenario that Malachi is addressing. You've got Israelite men who have married brides in their youth, other Israelite women. They've made covenants and relationships. They've had children, raised families, all of this. And then in middle age now, they are divorcing those wives of their youth and are running after foreign ladies who worship idols. And now they're marrying these ladies, and they're bringing in all this idolatry into the nation. And it's divorce, and it's broken covenants, and it's idolatry, and it's all kinds of messed up going on here. And Malachi is speaking very directly into this, and he's talking about the heart of God, that God wants to see our covenant relationships on earth be reflective of his covenant relationship with us. He's loyal. He keeps his promises. He doesn't break them. He honors his commitments. And so there's an integrity that he's seeking in our lives, that our covenants need to reflect that kind of faithfulness, devotion, and commitment. And where they disintegrate and pull apart, it is a betrayal, not just of our marriages, but a betrayal ultimately of God himself. And he wants to see this wholeness in our lives. And so we're going to talk about marriage, and we're going to talk about honoring our covenants as an act of worship before a holy God today. That's where we're going.
We go now to the pulpit of the Moody Church as we examine a people unfaithful in marriage. This is part two of the sermon, Abandoning Covenants. Our text today is Malachi chapter 2, verses 10 through 16.
In 454 BC, Ezra discovered that many of the people, especially the priests and Levites, had married foreign women outside the covenant. You can read about this in Ezra chapter 9, verse 2. He was appalled. He confessed the sins of the people, and they wept bitterly and pledged that they would change. That's in Ezra chapter 10. About a decade later, Nehemiah comes back to the people and discovers they're marrying women outside the covenant again. And you can read about that in Nehemiah 13. And so now Malachi, just a handful of years after Nehemiah, Malachi is calling out the people for doing the same thing all over again. They're welcoming pagan worship into the covenant community. They're offering sacrifices in the temple for their families at the very same time that their wives are offering worship to the false gods of the neighboring nations. They're failing to honor God in the temple, and they're failing to honor God in their households. You see that. But it gets worse. It gets worse. Jump down to 14b, the second half. The Lord was witness between you and the wife of your youth, to whom you have been faithless, though she is your companion and your wife by covenant. Skip down to 16. For the man who does not love his wife but divorces her, says the Lord, the God of Israel, covers his garment with violence, says the Lord of hosts. So guard yourself in your spirit and do not be faithless. So this passage reads like a funnel. Okay, it starts out really wide. You've been faithless within the family of God. What does that mean? You're marrying women who are worshiping false gods. Furthermore, what's worse is you're divorcing the wife of your youth so you can marry a bride outside the covenant. You see, it's narrowing down. This is one big cluster of sin, and it's funneling down. Here's the scenario that Malachi has in mind. You have middle-aged Israelite men who have grown tired of their aging wives and are swapping them out for young, exotic, and idolatrous women. That's what's going on. And Malachi says, faithless, you're profaning. It's an abomination, it's treachery. You're doing violence because they're breaking faith with their wives and with God. They're breaking faith with their wives and with God. Not only are they abandoning the covenant with their wife as they divorced and remarried, they're abandoning the covenant with God as they welcome idolatry into their homes. They're trashing their own covenants of marriage, and they're trashing the covenant with God himself. But their problem runs even deeper than their faithless betrayal here. It's all arising from their fragmented hearts, their fragmented hearts. It would be one thing if they just walked out on God and said, I'm done with you, just openly owned their rebellion. But they're still pretending everything's okay. They're still coming into worship every week, every month, like this is no big deal. Look at this, verse 11. Judah has been faithless. An abomination has been committed in Israel and in Jerusalem, for Judah has profaned the sanctuary of the Lord, which he loves. He's married a daughter of a foreign god. May the Lord cut off the tents of Jacob, any descendant of the man who does this, who brings an offering to the Lord of hosts. So here they are living in flat-out disobedience to God. They're divorcing their wives. They're embracing idolatry. And then they have the audacity to waltz into the temple sanctuary with an offering like everything's okay. It would be like me spitting in my wife's face and then 5 minutes later showing up with flowers. She's like, you think that makes it okay? You think that just makes everything fine? No. And the term here for offering is specifically referring to the offering of first fruits, which was both an offering of thanksgiving and dedication to the Lord. The first fruits offering was when you came and said, God, I thank you for all the good gifts you've given me, and I dedicate all that I have and all that I am to you. And God says, I've had enough of this duplicity. You come to dedicate yourself unreservedly to me in worship while at the same time welcoming idol worship into your homes. Your soul is conflicted. Your loyalties are divided. Your heart is fragmented. And I want your whole heart, not just a piece of it. And not only is your heart fragmented before me, says the Lord, it's fragmented at home too. Because whatever piece of your heart still belongs to me is something you can't share with your unbelieving spouse. Your faith in me, your covenant love, in my covenant love, in my sacrificial grace, in my faithful promises, all these things that are supposed to be the deepest part of who you are at the core of your being, you can't actually share that with your unbelieving wife. And she wants your whole heart, not just a piece of it. Don't you see God saying, look, you're not wholly mine, and you're not wholly hers either, because you're not whole yourself. You're not whole. Your heart is torn. It's divided. It's disintegrated. It's fragmented. See, even in the New Testament, God commands his people not to pursue marriage with unbelievers. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14, Paul says, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. It's a picture of like a pair of oxen harnessed together. And the point is, in marriage, you and your spouse need to be pulling in the same spiritual direction. If you're plowing toward God and your spouse is plowing in another direction, it's gonna be rough going for you. And not just for you, but for any of the children that you might have. No, friends, God's design is that you would be able to share your whole heart with your spouse in marriage and bring your whole heart in worship before God. He's after your wholeness, you see. But the hearts of these Israelite men were not whole. They were fragmented, not just because of their marriage to idol worshipers, but because of the divorces where they abandoned their wives in the first place. Verse 13, and this second thing you do, you cover the Lord's altar with tears, with weeping and groaning, and because he no longer regards the offering or accepts it with favor from your hand. But you say, why does he not? Because the Lord was witness between you and the wife of your youth to whom you have been faithless, though she is your companion and your wife by covenant. Now, the Hebrew here in verse 13 is a bit vague, but basically what God is saying is, I'm not accepting your offerings with all those tears and weeping and groaning that you've heaped up on the altar. But the question is, whose tears are they? Whose weeping is this? And in the context, it doesn't make sense for these to be tears of repentance from these faithless men, because there's no hint of repentance in the passage. And furthermore, this is a charge that God is bringing against them. This second thing you do. So whatever they're doing, it's not good. Many commentators believe that the tears here are the brokenhearted tears of the wives they've betrayed. These men have heaped up onto the altar of the Lord the tears, the weeping, and the groaning of their ex-wives. And God is saying, I can't accept your offering or grant you favor, because all I can see on the altar are the tears, the weeping, and the groaning of the wife that you faithlessly betrayed. You married her before me and all those witnesses. She was the wife of your youth, the joy of your heart, your companion through thick and thin. She was your wife by covenant. You promised to love and to cherish, to have and to hold, in sickness and in health, and forsaking all others, to be faithful to her until death do you part. And then you threw it all away. You betrayed and discarded her. How dare you treat your wife like that and then come into my holy presence like everything's okay? Your sins are shouting louder than your sacrifice. Because, friends, our spiritual lives cannot be compartmentalized. Our spiritual lives cannot be compartmentalized. No, God insists on our integrity, on our wholeness. No duplicity, no hypocrisy, no fragmentation. This is why in 1 Peter 3, verse 7, Christian husbands are called to honor and respect their wives as joint heirs of God's covenant grace, in order that, quote, your prayers may not be hindered. Friends, husbands, do you realize God will not answer our prayers, husbands, with favor if we are not treating our wives with honor? What father worth his salt would grant the requests of the one who's mistreating his daughter? If we say we love God and hate our brother, we're liars. Which is why Jesus says in Matthew 5, verses 23 to 24, if you're offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. Friends, we cannot give our whole heart to God while our relationships lie in fragments. We cannot give our whole heart to God while our relationships lie in fragments. We can't compartmentalize and pretend everything's okay. We can't put on a holy demeanor and pull the wool over God's eyes. It doesn't work. Friends, we cannot beat our kids and walk into worship like everything's okay. We cannot betray our spouses and come in and partake of the body and blood of Christ, the symbols that represent him in communion. We cannot hate our neighbor and then come in and confess our love for God. We cannot lust online and then come in and sing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." We cannot exploit the poor Monday through Friday and then sing blessed assurance on Sunday. All of life is under the lordship of Jesus Christ. There is nothing outside his domain, and he wants our whole heart, not just a piece of it.
This is Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. I'm Pastor Larry McCarthy. We're glad you're with us today as we dig deeper into this topic of marriage. Pastor Philip, boy, Malachi is showing us that God doesn't want these fragmented hearts that I'll do the right thing in one place, but then do something completely different when I'm at school or I'm at work. This type of hypocrisy really is offensive to God, yes?
Yeah, it's a disintegration, isn't it, of our being when we, you know, to use Jesus' words in the Gospels of the Pharisees, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In other words, you're going through the motions. You're showing up. You're doing the right things on the outside on Sunday. You're singing the songs, praying the prayers, listening to the sermons. But then all of a sudden, you switch gears and there's massive gaps in your life between who you profess to be with your lips and who you really are underneath. And that disintegration is really bad for us. I mean, it is literally our souls are falling apart, and a disintegrated person disintegrates. And so there are consequences to all of this. And so this really is a call to integrity. It's a call to be open and honest before the Lord, to confess our sins, to stop hiding, stop pretending, stop faking, stop wearing masks, and to get really honest before the Lord, and to bare our souls and to invite him into the broken pieces of our lives, and to acknowledge there's massive areas where we need grace and forgiveness, and we need to, that's how we regain integrity. The first move toward integrity is acknowledging I don't have it, and I need to be honest and bring all the fragmented, disintegrated pieces of my life into the presence of God. And the beauty is the gospel allows us to do that. There's more mercy in Christ than sin in us. And so this is the one safe place where we can bring the broken, disintegrated pieces of our lives and confess it before him. And he will forgive.
Amen. This goes so much deeper than the betrayal that you outlined for us in Malachi, where we see these men basically abandoning their wives and trading them in for, quote, better versions, end quote. But let me ask you this, because our listeners may want to know, why is the betrayal in human marriage considered an attack on God's faithfulness?
Well, marriage as a covenant is patterned after the character of God himself, right? So actually, go back to, you know, creation, right? The three-in-one God makes a two-in-one marriage. So you've got male and female, this binary pair, and they're coming together in covenant union that has unity and diversity, reflecting the very nature of God, who is three in one. So it's patterned off of who God is, and then it's patterned off after his own covenant love for us. God is a God who makes covenants and promises, and he's
always faithful.
And he's always faithful. And we see this in Ephesians that Paul is talking about marriage, and then all of a sudden he just switches and he says, I'm talking about Christ in the church. In other words, marriage is a microcosm. It's a small little thing, a model that is meant to mirror and reflect the ultimate covenant love that is God's covenant love for his people. And so broken marriages, infidelity, broken promises, covenants that are shattered on a human level, you're breaking the thing that is meant to image and reflect and point to the ultimate love. In other words, it's meant to be symmetrical. There's meant to be cohesion and integrity. The ultimate covenant love of God, who is always faithful and always keeps his promises, that is meant to be reflected in our marriages. So when our marriages, when we blow up our marriages and we're disloyal and unfaithful in our marriages, it is an assault, not just on the people involved in the marriage, but it is ultimately an assault on the creator that covenant love is meant to point to, his covenant love. So we can't compartmentalize. Again, we keep coming back to this. We can't compartmentalize our lives. Our lives, our marriage, our promises, they all have spiritual bearing. That's why Peter says, you know, you've got to love your wife or your prayers will be hindered. There's a deep integrity to the way we love each other, the way we honor our marriages and our commitments, and the way we worship our God. Those things can't be separated.
This is Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. We're in Malachi. We're talking about marriages, and some of our listeners, Pastor Miller, may be saying, okay, I want that wholehearted relationship you're talking about. I don't want to be fragmented. I don't want to disintegrate. I want that wholehearted relationship. Help me. What can I do?
Yeah. So I would say watch out for anything that's going to pull you away from your spouse. So secrets, compartmentalizing, where it's like his world, her world, and we kind of separate. So you can, anytime you pull those things apart, it's like, you know, this person's doing one thing, another person's doing another thing. You've got separate finances, separate agendas, separate life. All of that's moving away from the vision here. Anything like that is going to be a danger sign. But on the positive, there's a mutuality. There's listening. There's mutuality, understanding, sacrificial love, following the Lord together, reading our Bibles together, praying together, serving together. These are the kinds of things that the Lord is going to call us to. And so that kind of deep mutuality, I think, is the kind of vision that reflects the character of God and is enriching to our marriages as well.
I hope that you have been encouraged today by this discussion. That vision of mutuality and sacrificial love in marriage, it's a beautiful reflection of how God loves us. But I got to be honest, when our relationships are fractured, or when we see those fragmented hearts, which Malachi helps us see, it can certainly feel like we're drifting far from God. We may even begin to have doubts in our relationship with God. Have you ever thought, if I failed this badly on earth, where do I actually stand for eternity? We desperately need to know that our eternal foundation is secure, and that's why we want to put a very special resource in your hands by our very own Pastor Erwin Lutzer. It's called How You Can Be Sure You Will Spend Eternity with God. Now, we're offering Pastor Lutzer's book for a donation of any amount. You know, Pastor Lutzer often says, we can be wrong about a lot of things in this life, our investments, our careers, or even politics. But the one thing we absolutely cannot afford to be wrong about is where we're going to spend eternity. How You Can Be Sure You Will Spend Eternity with God isn't a manual on how to be a perfect person. It's a straight, unfiltered gospel truth for those of us who know we're nothing apart from God's grace. And that's why we're offering How You Can Be Sure You Will Spend Eternity with God for a donation of any amount. Now, to request your copy, simply go to livinghopeoffer.com or you can call us 1-800-215-5001. That's livinghopeoffer.com or 1-800-215-5001. Or write us if you like. Moody Church Media, 1635 North LaSalle Drive, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Next time, we'll discuss how to be whole in our relationships. Thanks for joining us for Living Hope, where you'll always find gospel truth for the journey of a lifetime. Living Hope is a production of Moody Church Media and is sponsored by The Moody Church.